Well, there's a lot at stake here. And the bottom line is the threat of sequestration is going to hang over the Department of Defense and other parts of the federal government for probably another year. Sequestration does not actually go into enforcement until January of 2013. So Congress has the next 13 months to try to figure out a way around it, a way to, you know, rescind the provision, delay it, or ultimately, if they can't reach some sort of agreement, it may very well go into effect. Now, what that's going to mean for DOD is the budget is going to drop about 11% from where it is right now. It's at about $530 billion in the base budget now. It'll drop to about $472 billion in 2013 under sequestration, and then in theory it would stay at about that level, only growing with inflation for the rest of a decade. So we're looking at pretty substantial cuts to the department, but the biggest threat, I think, is that it will happen so abruptly.
I wanted to ask you about the timeline. You mentioned that it's not going to kick in until 2013. We know that this margin has been baked into the process, which, as you pointed out, gives lawmakers the opportunity to tweak, change, delay, perhaps even get rid of this whole process. From your experience and historically speaking, what do you think they're going to do? I know that you don't have a way to see the future, but just from what you've experienced in the past, do you think they'll tweak it?
I think it's highly likely that they will make adjustments to it. At a minimum, I think that they will delay the enforcement of sequestration. I think it's entirely likely that they will find a way to undo it altogether. The problem, though, the real risk here is that it's going to require a majority in the House, a supermajority of 60 votes to break the filibuster in the Senate, and a presidential signature in order to pass anything that modifies sequestration. That is a tough hurdle. If the super committee wasn't able to work out a compromise amongst 12 members, I don't think it's likely that we'll be able to get an easy compromise through all of Congress. So I think, you know, it's going to be a tough battle over the next year. But I think at the end of the day, at a minimum, they'll at least delay it.
And but, you know, the DOD can't count on that. Contractors can't count on that. They still have to plan for the worst. So what is it defense contractors need to brace for?
Well, I think they do need to start planning for this contingency because there's a real chance that it may happen. If sequestration does happen, because, as I said before, the cuts happen so abruptly, I imagine that probably half the cuts are going to come out of the acquisition budget. And so that's going to have a huge impact on contractors. We're looking at potentially up to a 21% drop in acquisition funding compared to where we are right now. I think that's kind of at the extreme, but it is possible. At a minimum, I think we're looking at 12 to 18% drop in acquisition funding from where we are today. When you look at how Congress and DOD tends to make cuts in acquisition programs, they go after the big programs first, because that's where the money is. If you're a defense contractor, you know, either a prime or a second tier or third tier contractor, and you're supporting one of the big acquisition programs, you know, in the top 20 or top 30 acquisition programs, I think you've got to start preparing for either the production schedule or development schedule being slowed down, the total quantity being reduced, or programs being canceled outright, particularly New START programs that are just on the drawing board right now that are planned to ramp up in the future. I think that they may very well be at risk in this budget environment.
We're talking with Todd Harrison, a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. You mentioned the low-hanging fruit, the big contractors, the primes, and the second level. What about the subcontractors? What about the littlest guys who are actually starting to get a piece of that pie?
You know, it's interesting talking to people in the aerospace industry, aerospace and defense. They've pointed out to me that the cuts could actually be magnified for the second tier and third tier contractors, because as you cut, you know, the funding for the prime for a program, they may decide to in-house more of the work, to do more of the work themselves. So the cuts they pass on to the second tier contractors may be larger than the cuts cuts they receive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could be looking at a situation like that for some of the smaller defense contractors. You know, and as someone who has worked at a small defense contractor in the past, this can be very disruptive to the company. It could, lead to, rather abrupt layoffs of people. We could be looking at companies either exiting the defense market or merging together or being acquired by a larger company.
Would you have any advice then for those managers, whether they're with contractors or whether they're with federal agencies, on how they're able to maintain their mission and get the job done well, even though these big cuts are looming? Is that even possible?
Well, I mean, the best you can do, I think, is to get as lean as you can. You can't have any fat or the perception of fat in your organization. You've got to show that you can meet your cost and schedule targets, that you're producing, quality product or quality service, as the case may be. And you've got to show how you're contributing real value and you've got something unique to offer that others can't. I think that's the best you can do in this kind of budget environment. You've got to show value.
You have contacts both in the contracting industry and in the federal government. You know folks there. What's the word on the street? How are they strategizing? Is it too early? It's never too early to strategize, but what are they saying?
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I think both in DOD and in industry, they were a little slow to react over the past year, but I think it is setting in right now. That the budget is in for a decline one way or another. Even if sequestration doesn't actually go into enforcement, it looks like the defense budget is going to decline and decline significantly over the coming years. So I think people are just now really starting to adjust to the new fiscal reality that we're in. And, it's too soon to see how that will play out and what companies will start to do. But they are starting to work on this now and starting to think about it.
I got to ask, I mean, one can understand why they would be slow to react in the beginning, because defense budget has always been sacred. Nobody's ever wanted to really mess with it before.
Well, at least in recent memory, that's
mm-hmm.
true. For, more than a decade, we've had a continually growing defense budget year after year. Over the past decade, we've averaged increases in the defense budget of 4% each year above the rate of inflation. That makes it, one of the faster growing areas of the federal budget over the last decade. And that's not even including war funding. With war funding, it grew even faster on top of that. But if you look back at previous downturns in defense spending, like at the end of the Cold War, it can happen, over a very long period of time. At the end of the Cold War, the drawdown actually even started before the end of the Cold War. Fiscal year 85 was the last peak in defense spending. In FY 86, it started declining, and it continued to decline until it reached its bottom in fiscal year 98. So it was a pretty steady, prolonged decline that ultimately brought down the size of the military significantly. We could be looking at something similar over the next decade.
I was actually going to ask if you could project this out through the next decade or beyond, if you could tell.
Yeah, if you include war funding coming down, then, even if sequestration level cuts take effect, even if they don't happen as currently prescribed in law, where they happen abruptly in FY13, even if they're phased in over time, if you assume all war funding comes out by the end of this decade, we're looking at around a 30-31% overall decline in defense spending when you adjust for inflation. If you compare to the end of the Cold War, that was about a 34% reduction. At the end of Vietnam, that was a 26% reduction. At the end of the Korean War, it was over a 50% reduction, and it happened much more abruptly. I actually think the Korean War, the way that DOD downsized at that time, might be a smart model to follow, because we shifted strategy. We started relying more heavily on our nuclear deterrent and our air and sea forces. And so the cuts, as they came down, were targeted. And the mantra back then was, we don't want to fight any more major ground wars like Korea We don't want to rely on that in the future to contain the Soviet Union. We want to rely more on our nuclear deterrent. And so we shifted investments in our budget accordingly. We may be at a similar point now where we need a new look at defense and we need to rethink strategy and shift our investments according to that new strategy.